So tonight, we're going to go back into our, we have some exciting things I want to talk about tonight. Really exciting things I want to talk about tonight, especially in the area of witnessing, all right? So I'm going to share some stuff tonight with you all that I believe is important. So first of all, on last Wednesday, last Wednesday, my daughter went to, she was training and stuff and all that kind of stuff. And then we left there and we went to Juice It Up. I don't know if you've been there. There's one over here in Pearland and where it's all natural juices and stuff. And I'm sitting in there and I had this burst of energy, I guess, you know, and I was like talking to everybody and, you know, I was like, man, why am I talking so much? You know, so I was just talking to everybody coming, how you doing, you know? And it was such an easy, you know, I felt the environment was so conducive that it was already ready, it seems like, right? So I was just talking to everybody. And then finally this young man who, at first when I looked, I said, this boy need to pull his pants up. You know what I mean? I made a quick assessment, right? I was like, man, he need to pull his pants up, you know, walking around with his pants hanging down, all kinds of stuff. And so he moves and he got his drink and he was sitting there drinking. So how I always start a witnessing conversation, first of all, let me just say this. If I talk to you and you don't know me, you better know that I'm coming after you to see if I can lead you to Christ. When I met you, that was my purpose. All right. All right. I'm just letting you know, wherever I go, if I talk to you. Okay, before it used to be for other reasons. I don't think you're hearing me, right? But now, when I talk to you, it's got to be because I want you to come to know Jesus. Amen, right? So I said, so, hey, man, how you like that drink? He's like, man, I like, man, it's good, it's good. I said, thank you, Usher. Oh, okay. All right. He said, man, I like, you know, he says, nice, it's good. I said, is it cherry? He's like, yeah. So what I did was I found something in common with him, right? And I just asked him a question like, do you like the juice? He's like, yeah, it's good. I said, man, maybe I need to try that next time. So, you know, I said, so, man, you live around here? He's like, yeah, no, I work across the street. I said, okay, cool. I said, okay, good. I said, hey, where you go to church? He says, oh, man, I got a lot of questions about the Bible. Uh-oh. You know, he asked the wrong person, right? Or he asked the right person, right? He said, I got a lot of questions about the Bible. You know, my daughters were here, my wife, my children were here, and they were watching me work, right? And I was like, listen, I said, well, tell me about, you know, Cain and Abel. If Cain and Abel was the children of Adam, and then they married, who did they marry? I said, they married their sister and brother. I mean, that's the truth. Here's what I want to say to you when you're witnessing. You don't have to make any apologies. But the reasons that people have for not believing God, sometimes it's outlandish. It has no weight. It has no validity to it. There's no value to it, right? So once I answered that, he's like, man, ain't nobody really said it to me like that. You know what I mean? He said, because I've been asking my mama and daddy, right? Now watch this. This is going to mess you up, right? So I'm talking to him, right? And I was like, so let me ask you this then. He said, I said, so right as I'm about to ask him the next question, his friend walked in. Well, no, I asked him, I said, so let me ask you this. I said, if you were to die today, where would you go? He said, heaven. I said, really? He's like, yeah. I said, why should God let you in heaven? Well, see, at my church, I used to work with the youth in the church, and I share because I speak to them on their level, you know, I share good things with them, tell them about life and things like that, you know what I mean? So God gonna let me in heaven because of that? What's the problem there? That's not how you get into heaven. So once I asked him that, his friend walked in, and it's like, what y'all talking about? He's like, man, I'm trying to figure out if he's saved. He said, man, you ain't saved? He said, man, I thought you were, all this time we've been working together for 2 years. He said, I thought you were, man, everybody know that. You ain't saved. It was amazing how God did that. Because, and then I witnessed to him to say, you should have checked. Come on, somebody. We're working around people every day. And we don't know whether or not they're going to heaven or not. Are you with me? And he was like shocked, right? And I said, listen, I said, you want to take the good person test? He's like, yeah, I want to take the good person test. I said, okay, have you ever lied before? He said, yeah, everybody lies. I said, what do you mean everybody? He said, everybody lies. I said, okay, no problem. I said, so have you ever stolen anything, irregardless of the value? He's like, well, shoot, yeah, I stole some stuff, right? I said, have you ever looked on a woman in lust? He said, shoot, everybody do that. He said, but nobody's perfect. I said, so based upon what you just said to me, you told me you're a good person, but you just admitted to being a liar, a thief, and an adulterer at heart. So why would God let you into heaven? He said, because I'm a good person. I said, but you just admitted to being a liar, thief, and adulterer at heart. I said, so let me give you a scenario, all right? There's a man who raped a 2-year-old baby. True story, in Florida. Raped the little baby, mutilate her body, and then he goes before the judge, right? And then he says, well, judge, you know what? I'm a good person, so the judge let him off. Do you think the judge was just in letting him off? Of course not. So why would God let you go? See, the punishment has to fit the crime. And oftentimes what happens to a lot of people, because they think they're good, they think they're going to get into heaven. But the only way that we can get into heaven is if we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that Christ died, he was buried, and rose again from the dead, and you shall be saved. And at that moment, he says, man, he had nothing else to say. I said, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He said, yes, sir, I would like to do that right now. Amen. All right, so what I'm saying is, God, what I call that is, I call that the Jacob's well. And we're going to look at some of that tonight. God will put you in positions and situations where you can witness. Now, my daughter here, she watched my every move. She had never seen me do it. And then what happened to you on yesterday? Come on, y'all. Come on. Yeah, we should be rejoicing. Heaven is rejoicing. All right, so in the witnessing workshop, we're going to do some scenarios, right? We're going to do some scenarios, and I'm going to give you some of the scenario, most common scenarios, all right? Because remember this, it's the Holy Spirit that orchestrates the conversation. Now, I didn't even know why I was talking to this guy, but I was like, man, you know, I'm sure he's talkative today. Amen. But God showed me that you take every conversation, listen to me real good, and turn it into a spiritual conversation. So what I want you to do now is I want you to go to, last week I talked about the witnesser, right? We talked about the life of the witnesser has to be one, amen, that's conducive, amen, to the word of God. Am I right? All right. And so tonight I want to look at session 4. How many of you got an opportunity? How many of you have been talking to people since we've been doing this? I think John went to McDonald's on Sunday, and he witnessed to someone there. I believe Brother Stewart led someone to Christ the second week. Amen. So now here's what we got to do. We're leading them to Christ, but we got to do the next step. What's the next step? We got to get them into the house of God. Why do we need to get them into the house of God? They can receive the word, sanctification, what else? Maturity, membership, right? Division, right? Amen. So that they can develop and become what? Productive Christians. Amen. Christians that God had in mind when he saved them. Are you with me? Go to Isaiah for me. I want to look at something real quick. Isaiah. And I want to show you something about God's word tonight. Amen. Y'all ready? All right. Isaiah chapter 8. Let me reiterate that. Isaiah chapter 8. Or Isaiah, as they call it. Really, it's pronounced Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 8. Amen. I want you to read Isaiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. And look what the Lord said. I want to show you something. Then the Lord said to me, take for yourself a large what? Tablet, and write on it in ordinary letters. Swift is the booty, speedy is the prey. And I will take to myself what? Faithful what? Witnesses. And I will take for myself what? Say it one more time. For what? For what? Testimony. In other words, God is saying, if you're going to be a witness, you got to be faithful at it. You can't be a witness one day and be a witness a week later and then take a day off. And what God is looking for is faithful witnesses. Amen. And being a faithful witness means that you're willing, amen, to operate according to God's leading. Are you with me? He says, Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jehoiakim. So I approached the prophetess, and she conceived and gave birth to a son. Then the Lord said to me, name him Marah Shilzah Bazar. Okay? For before the boy knows how to cry out, my father or my mother, the wealth of Damascus and the spoils of Samaria will be carried away before the king of Assyria. Now, this is cultural stuff, okay? But what he was saying here is that he wanted a faithful witness. And I believe that that's one of the things that we have to be as witnesses. We have to be what? Faithful. Listen, don't be ashamed of your testimony. Amen. I know the devil may try to get you to be ashamed of where you've been or what you did or how you did it or what you've been through. But I want to say to somebody here tonight, the enemy wants to shut you up. He doesn't want you to be a faithful witness. He wants you to be an every now and then witness. Are you with me? And listen, the message is too powerful to keep it to yourself. Come on, somebody. Listen, when you accepted Jesus, you know, here's the thing. People play these games. You know, they want to get into these arguments or controversy about the word, and you know what I mean, it's this, and you know what I mean, they want to get all these things they want to bring up. But at the bottom line, what I always say is, what does that have to do with your spiritual life? We want to argue about tongues, and we want to argue about miracles, and we want to argue about healings and all this other stuff. That's not what all the church is all about. Here's your first healing when you accept Christ. You're healed from a sin-sick soul. You're no longer going to hell, but you're going to heaven. And here's the other thing, and I'm going to teach this. Once you're saved, you're always saved. All right? Now, there was a discussion in my class on last night that if you walk away from the Lord and you die in your sin, that you're not going to heaven. All right? Now, here's the thing. Once you're saved, the issue is not about salvation. It's about sanctification. All right? Now, you got to remember this. This is why it's important to live a life that's pleasing unto God, so that if you so happen to die, amen, okay, you're going to heaven, but here's the thing, that you're living in such a way that is pleasing unto Him. Now, here's the thing. For the people that do not live according to the plan that He has for them, they're cutting their life short. You know, when the Bible says, honor your father and your mother so that your days will be long on earth, it's the same thing applies to the Heavenly Father. Come on, somebody. If you're not honoring God, your Father, you are cutting your life short here on earth. I wish I had somebody. We not may not look at it like that. But the more we live according to our own understanding, there's a way that seemeth right to a man, and then the end thereof is death. That's what the Bible says. Right? So go to Jeremiah for me. Go to Jeremiah. Just want to give you these introductory scriptures. And then we'll get into our handout tonight. And so what's tonight's handout talking about? We're talking about how to begin a witnessing conversation. So as I told you, at Juice It Up, all I said was, hey, man, you like your juice? You know what I mean? And it's funny because when God gets ready to start a witnessing conversation, it seems to me that the whole room got quiet. It's like no customers were coming in. It's like the presence of God just rested upon that place at that very moment. There was no distractions. There was nothing. And we prayed right there in the place. Amen. His life was changed and transformed at that very moment. How many believe you can lose your salvation? Anybody believe that? That you can lose your salvation? Amen. All right. Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you why another time. Amen. Because I need to know you can defend that. Amen. You ought to be. If you tell me you cannot lose your salvation, now tell me why. All right. You have to be able to defend that. What does that mean? You're able to be an apologist. You're not apologizing. You're defending. You're defending your view. Why do you believe what you believe? You ought to be able to say, I go to church because of why. Why do we come to church? To serve God? What else? To hear the word? For worship? What else? To become a mature Christian? Right. To fellowship with God? Amen. When you come in here, you're fellowshipping with God, right? So Jeremiah 32 says, amen. Y'all with me tonight? All right. Now, don't make me have to. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 32. Amen. Let's look at it. Somebody read that. The word came. Go ahead. This is Jeremiah being imprisoned. Stop right there. It says verse 3 what? Because what? Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up saying what? They had literally seized him. So what I'm trying to say to you, sometimes being a witness, you're not going to be liked. Come on, somebody. The enemy's not going to like you. All right? He's going to put you. And listen, here's what the enemy will always do. He'll always try to shut up your witness. He'll always try to shut you up or put you in a position where you can't talk anymore. Amen. I never forget when I worked at Dry's Ice Cream, how they tried to shut me up. Amen. Man, you don't need to be talking about God in the break room. I'm going to talk about God in the break room. If I can't talk about God in the break room, I go out in the parking lot by my car. You follow what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? And I never forget those days when I worked in the bus company how, listen, when I got saved, y'all, I felt as if, I wrote in a journal, I said, man, it seems like everybody know about God, but they don't acknowledge him. You know, and I was so excited about witnessing because I wanted to give everybody what I had received. But look at this. He says, why do you prophesy saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm about to give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon. See, what he's saying is, what the king is saying, I want you to tell me good things. I don't want you to tell me bad things. Here's bad news. live your whole life in church and still go to hell. That's bad news. Amen. Why? Because your heart had never changed. Come on, somebody. That's bad news. And what happens is today, people don't want to hear bad news. They want to hear from the pulpit today. They want to hear God loves you and have a wonderful plan for your life. You're going to be blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Favor is coming your way. Coming, money is coming you, to your bank account. Your bank account is going to be so full you don't know what to do with it. Okay? What does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? No, we're not hearing that. We don't want to hear no good news, bad news. We want to hear what? Good news. Amen. So look what he says. He says, why are you saying these things? Behold, I'm about to give the city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he will take it, and Zedekiah, the king of Judah, will not escape out of the hands of the Chaldeans, but he will surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he will speak with him face to face to see him eye to eye. Now let me just say what's happening here. See, God had been warning Israel for a long time. God had been witnessing, sending his prophet after prophet. What do you think all these prophets are? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all these different prophets. God was sending a witness to them, but they kept on ignoring the witness. Do I have anybody? And oftentimes, saints, that's what happens to people in the world. Remember this, Satan has blinded their minds. And what the enemy wants to do is he wants to, listen, this is a tough job that we have. It's tough because, but watch this, it's tough if we do it in our flesh. But it won't be tough if the Holy Spirit orchestrates your conversations. Right? But here's the thing, the prophets had a hard job. Here's the prophet telling them what God was telling him, and they're saying, why are you telling me what God is saying? I don't want to hear that. And oftentimes the message is not always what I want it to be. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you'll come to church and you'll hear a message like, man, pastor up my street today, man. He done knocked down my door, amen. Why is he all up in my business tonight? You know what? I'm not going to hold back and not tell you what God told me to tell you, like kind of like Sunday's message. Come on, y'all. Y'all know we don't love. Y'all know we don't love. We say love, but we don't do it. Come on, somebody. Am I right about it? And so that's what's happening here. He's saying, listen, this is what's going to happen. And here's what you don't never want to do. You never want to sugarcoat the message. Come on, somebody. I'm going to call a spade, all right? We're gonna be about the Father's business, but what we're going to do when you're witnessing, don't be afraid to tell the truth. That's my first point. Write that down. Tell the truth. Upon my assessment, it seems to me that you're not going to heaven. I mean, you could say it in such a way, they'd be like, oh, okay. Kind of get that. Now, look what he goes on to say. And Jeremiah said, look what he goes on to say, verse 5. And he will what? Take Zedekiah to Babylon, and he will be there until I visit him, declares the Lord. If you fight against the Chaldeans, what happened? You will what? So God was giving them what? The truth. Listen, you will not succeed if you fight against God. You will not succeed if God keeps telling you to change. Come on, somebody. And you're not changing, saints. Are you all with me tonight? Look what he says in verse 6. He says, and Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, behold, Hamiel, the son of Shemuel, your uncle is coming to you, saying, buy for yourself my field, which is at the... Now what happens here is God is telling him to buy this field, right? Because what he was giving him the deed to the land. But the point of this passage is that Jeremiah was imprisoned, listen to this, for telling the truth. And oftentimes, saints, the witnesser, right after you witness to somebody, here's what you want to do. You want to go pray. Pray for the person. Pray for yourself. Okay, pray that God will protect you because the enemy is going to try shooting all kinds of darts your way. Are you with me? All right. So now, how do we begin a witnessing conversation? So the purpose of this session is to what? Anybody got? To help the believer understand how to begin a what? Witnessing conversation. So in any witnessing conversation, number one, be natural. Be yourself. Put your unique personality into the conversation and enjoy the people with whom you have an opportunity to share. You know what? When I was witnessing to this young man, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the opportunity. I didn't look at it as, and I think you led someone to Christ too, right? Amen. So God is speaking to us, and obviously we're obeying. Amen. And so we have to be ourselves, be natural. Don't force the conversation. Don't try to change stuff, right? So let's look at Jesus now. Let's go look at Jesus right quick. Let's go to John. Man, I had a few scriptures that I wanted you to look at. Let's go to, I believe, John chapter 4. Familiar passage. John chapter 4. All right, and we're going to look at how Jesus witnessed. All right, so somebody begin reading for me from chapter four, verse 1. All right, so Samaria was a different district from where he was, but the Samaritans and the Jews, they didn't get along. But yet, watch this. Here's a point for you. Don't hesitate to go to the places where God is sending you. Even difficult places. Even places where you're like, man, I don't need to be here. But if you're there for the right reasons, amen. If you're there for the right motive, this is too critical of a subject to go to a place and not be ready. The rodeo. When you go to rodeo, hello somebody, you're going to be in touch with sinners. Y'all ain't trying to hear me. When you go to the movies, when you go to the restaurant, wherever you go, you will come in contact with sinners. But Jesus was specific because what's about to happen next will be a life-changing situation, just like the Ethiopian, a life-changing situation for this person. Remember this, you've already gotten it. Somebody else needs it. You have what they need. Why won't you give it to them? Come on, somebody. Go ahead. All right, so here Jesus is. He's tired, which shows his humanity. He was still God, but still man, because he needed to identify with what we identify with. But what Jesus was getting ready to do, even though he was, see, this is what happens to us. Sometimes we're so tired, we write people off. Or we ignore that God is putting us in a place to witness. Are you with me? Watch what he says. He says, and there came a woman of who? To do what? Now, notice. She came to draw water. Physical. Right? She is a woman who's minding her own business. Kind of like gentlemen on the other day in Juice It Up. He was minding his business. He wasn't even thinking about me. I wasn't even thinking. I didn't even know him from nowhere. See, what happens to us, oftentimes we miss opportunities. And listen, we will be held accountable when we stand before God one day. Can I ask you something? How many opportunities have you missed? Amen. Now, here's the thing. You don't have to be no great, speaker to lead someone to Christ. Remember, it's not you, it's who. And if you open your mouth, he'll say it. So this woman from Samaria, she came to draw water. And look what Jesus said to her, hey, give me a drink. Now, notice Jesus didn't start. So the first thing in witnessing and starting a conversation is, don't start with the spiritual, start with the natural. Find something in common with a person and say, hey, X, Y, Z, whatever. Like I asked the guy, how was that juice? Is that juice good? Look what Jesus said. Jesus said, hey, give me a drink. Give me a drink. Now, notice verse 8. It says, for his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said this to him. How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I am a what? Samaritan woman. For the Jews have no dealings with what? See, here's the first thing. Here's the second thing you got to realize about a witnessing conversation, right? You are breaking down barriers because the church is no longer going out to reach the world. So that's why it's so unfamiliar when we go out and start a witnessing conversation with someone. They're like, have you lost your mind? And they think we're Jehovah Witness. Amen. And so she's trying to figure out, first of all, the one thing that Jesus did, the first thing he did is he broke down the wall of division. Come on, somebody. There's a division between these two people groups, prejudice, white, black, Hispanic, and Brazilians. You know, Mexico and Brazil, they don't get along. Puerto Rico and Mexico, they don't get along. There's a division there. So what Jesus did, the first thing he did is he introduced the conversation with something natural. But then she's asking the question, how is it that you being a Jew, now let's put this in this perspective. How is it that you who being in church, you'll take time to come talk to me? Come on, somebody. That's what he was saying. That's what she was saying in essence. How could you who given your life to Christ, I see you going to church all the time, but here you are talking to little old me. You see, we have to shock the world, y'all. We have to shock the world and let them know we're not afraid to go in the club. I ain't afraid to go in the club. I ain't going to go in the club, though. You know, I ain't scared. You know what I mean? I'm saying here's the thing. We are so, that's what my post is today. You're on Facebook, is the church still going outside the walls? Here's the thing. Are we going to places where people are? The rodeo is a great witnessing opportunity, y'all. Come on, somebody. Let me say this. There's a group of college kids at spring break. This church, right? They get together, a group of young people, okay, about 13, 11 age. They get together every spring break. They rent a van. They go down to Orlando. And guess what they do? They walk around with all the drunk kids and they're witnessing to them. How many of us are going to do that? How many of us are going to rise up and be a witness because we have the greatest message ever? Jesus is saying, listen, you got to go to places where people don't like you. Amen. And share the good news. That's how we're going to win. That's how we're going to win. That's how we're going to be a faithful witness for Jesus. Look what he goes on to say. He says this. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now, what does he do next? Now we move from the natural to the super to the spiritual. He said, "Baby, if you know who's asking you, if you only know who's asking you for water, you would have accepted him immediately and you would have gotten living water." See, here's the thing. Here's what's going on in most people that are not saved. They have no spring. They're dried up. And it makes sense to me that we ought to be able to go to places. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, your associates. Here's the thing, if you can't win your family, actually family is the hardest people to reach because they're too close. But we got to be like Jesus. We got to go to places where people don't know us. We got to go, listen, as a church, I believe that we have to go to places where people need Christ. We got to take it outside the walls. We got to go to Starbucks. You know how many people I led to Christ at Starbucks? My office? Shoot, man, I got a list. Because I was like, man, I need to be in contact with people. Amen. I need to talk about this good news. Are y'all with me tonight? Look what he said. She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." See, here's the thing. When you start talking to people about spiritual things, they will misunderstand it, and they will think that you're talking natural. He was talking supernatural. She was talking what? Natural. She said, "Sir, I ain't got nothing. The well's too deep. Where then do you get," watch this, he put the bait out there and she said, "Listen, I don't want just water, I want what? Living water." So in other words, can you make the good news appealing to other people with your life? Come on, somebody, that they want what you already have. I know y'all sleeping on me tonight, but it's all good. Watch this. Can you give them what you have? Can you make it in such a way where your life says living water? Where your life says, listen, you can have this. Listen, I'm going through, but guess what? I still got joy. I may not have everything that I want, but guess what? God, I know where I'm going when I die. See, that's the main thing. That's the main thing about this. I want this living water. Listen, can you make it appealing enough for them to say, man, I want that? I know we want to be conservative and cute. Seriously. And we want to be by ourselves. But all the work that God has done on you, you want to hide behind closed doors? And God has picked you up and cleaned you up and saved you and transformed you, and you want to sit in a room by yourself and watch TV? Come on, somebody. God has done so much to you. He is the potter, you are the clay. And what God is doing, we got to understand, we're not perfect. I don't claim to be perfect. I make all kinds of mistakes. But I thank God that when I walk into a room, it lights up. I don't think you're hearing me. What happens when you walk into a room? Does the atmosphere change? Amen. Or do they have a blackout? They need to write that down. Because if they have a blackout when you walk in, something is wrong with your witness. Look what he says. She said, "Listen, she said to him, "Sir, I have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." In other words, here's what she's saying. She's saying there are obstacles here. Come on, somebody. And there are a lot of people that are sitting around. Come on, somebody. They're sitting around. Now, I'm going to start doing it. Let me tell you about this chair right here. This empty chair represents Christ. Amen. It does. And I believe for every service, every empty chair represents a what? A potential. But the only way that your life is going to change is if you sit in this chair and give your life to Christ. This empty chair represents a potential. See, and a lot of people think that it's so hard. She's saying, I ain't got nothing to drink. I ain't got nothing to get the water with. And as a matter of fact, if I did have something to get the water with, it's too deep. Let me say this to you. God ain't that complicated. She has the master sitting in front of her. And oftentimes, that's who you represent, right? Oftentimes, we have Jesus right in front of us, and we miss him. She says, listen, I got, and you got to get ready when you're in a witnessing conversation for people to start saying, giving you excuses why. See, the reason why I can't get this living water, because it's too deep. But baby, let me simplify it for you. Watch the text. Watch the text. It's in the word. Watch what he says next. He says, look what she said in verse 12. She said, I'm sorry. He said, now look what she asked next. Where then, verse 11, John chapter 4, verse 11, where then do you get, I'm glad you asked. See, when you're witnessing, right, you have to pose questions, right, you know, in such a way where it sparks curiosity. You follow what I'm saying? So when I ask a question like, are you a good, would you like to take the good person test? Right? Good person test? Would you say you're a good person? Would you say you're a good person? Yeah? Would you say that? Well, I'm glad. Would you like to take the good person test, sir? I'm going to give it to you. All right, it's a simple three questions I have to ask. Have you ever lied before? All right. Have you ever stolen anything before, irregardless of the value? All right. He thought about that like, shoot, I done stole some stuff, some stereos. Hey, man, we got the police over there. You better not confess too much. Statute of limitation didn't run out on that one. And let me ask the next question. Have you ever looked on a woman and lusted after her? Go ahead and say it. Hey, don't be intimidated him. Talking about yeah, right. Okay, all right, we got that. So, but you told me a good person, but you just admitted to being a liar, a thief, and adulterer at heart. Why would God let you into heaven? He shouldn't. Because you have broken his what? His law. And the only way for you to get into heaven is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the moment you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he died, he was buried, and rose again from the dead, you shall be saved. That's the only way to secure a passage into heaven. Now listen, we're not just working to go to heaven. We're working so that when we get to heaven, we'll be prepared for heaven. Because ultimately, many of us don't think about death until we get older. But I want to say to all of you young people here, praise God that you're in church and you're interested in the fact that you are going to heaven. Let me say this to you. Stop beating yourself up. You're not going to get it right. Let me say this for a minute. If you've truly accepted Jesus, you are going to heaven. But like I said earlier, some of us are cutting the journey short. Because we're not obedient to the Father. Just like if you don't honor your parents, you're cutting your life short. It's the same way when you don't honor God, you're cutting your life short. Are you with me? So look at verse 12. He says, you are not greater than our father Jacob, are you? Who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle. See, here's the thing. Here's the other thing that happens to people. They put priority, listen to this, on things that really don't matter. They put priority on things that are not eternal, but things that will perish. They put priority on tradition. The reason why they came to the well, because it was Jacob's well. Are you with me? And so what I always say now, Starbucks was my Jacob's well. You know, you got to find a place to hang out. Now I want to say this to you now. Okay, let me just clarify this. Because, you know, some of you do go to the club, but you ain't witnessing. Okay, you ain't witnessing. All right, you ain't doing none of that. Okay, but you have to be intentional about where you position yourself. Because if you're not intentional about where you position yourself, you can ruin your witness. Are you with me? And let me say this to you. The one thing that I believe that's worse than an unbeliever is a believer who knows well but won't do well. Come on, somebody. Because the Bible says to him who knows what is right and does not do it, watch this, it is sin. So if you know what's right and you keep doing wrong, hello, somebody. You want to know why you're not seeing your way? Sin. And sin is missing the mark. What mark? The standard that God has set. And God is saying, baby, if you know what's right. Listen, I know people are going to try to come to you with all kinds of controversy and traditions and all kinds of stuff. But you got to be able to see past that stuff and say, man, I know what I've been taught. And this ain't right. How many know when you're not doing right? Amen. Amen. It feels good. But in the end, it leads to what? Destruction. Are you with me? Watch what he said in verse 13. Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water. Now notice, he didn't tell her yet what it was. He just says, everyone who drinks of this water will everyone who drinks of this water will what? So what he's saying to her is, listen, you're not going to benefit from the physical things. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Listen, this life is very short. And listen, he says, if you drink from this well water right here, you're going to be thirsty again in an hour. Are you with me? This is why it's important when you're witnessing not to just offer, watch this, physical things as the solution to the problem. Amen. But you offer spiritual things that will bring, watch this, satisfaction to the soul. Permanent satisfaction. Permanent transformation. Permanent, hallelujah, change in that person's life. We've been offering, some people, we offer money to people for, you know, to keep helping them, we keep enabling them. Money's not the answer. What you really got to offer to your children who ain't changing, come on, somebody. Amen. To folk in your life that you can't, that you got to keep on, you know, helping all the time. You got to offer them something more than physical help. You got to offer them spiritual help. And then they're going to call you. You know what they're going to say to you? You think you better than everybody. You think you spiritual. You know, but listen, if I don't offer you the spirit, that's the best help you can ever get. Watch your text. He says, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give them shall never what? Thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well. So in other words, you're not going to have the water. You're going to have the well. Come on, somebody. Now, which one do you want? Do you just want a glass of water to satisfy you today? Or do you want the whole well? And what Jesus was saying is, when you accept me, oh, hallelujah to his holy name, you will never run dry. You will never be thirsty. You will never get to a place in this journey where you will have a lack spiritually because you have me in your heart. Now, if you are dried up today and you have no joy, hallelujah, then there's something wrong with your well. Do I have you? He said, listen. The water I give you will become in him a well of water springing up, watch this, to what? Eternal life. May I say this to you? That's what it's all about. Eternal life. Now notice how this witnessing conversation went. He started off saying, hey, give me some water. Then there was a controversy about, she started giving a lot of barriers. You know, well, you know what? The well's too deep. People got all kinds of excuses. Well, see, I can't come to church because, see, I ain't got no clothes. I work every week. You follow what I'm saying? You know, you get all kinds of these little excuses, right? And this is what people will give you. You're trying to offer them something so amazing. And yet, they keep giving you, watch this, illegitimate excuses because they don't understand that they need living water. We need what? Living water. May I say something to you? What if God was to stop you in your tracks right now? All your plans will go out the window. If you were to die right now, everything that you plan for tomorrow, whatever you plan, it ain't going to happen. But when you have living water inside of you, it changes you. Listen, people that are spiritually dried up, I'm talking about believers now, right? Something is wrong with that picture. What's wrong with that picture, Pastor? Tell you what's wrong with that picture. You should never dry up because you have this spring inside of you, this spiritual spring that's inside of you. And I know the flesh is weak. And I know we blame a lot of things on why we are the way we are. But saints, I want to tell you, one day we will be held in account for everything we've done. And on that particular day, there'll be no more excuses. There'll be no more, well, I couldn't do it because of this. I couldn't be there because of that. You know what I mean? When I see some, here's the thing. I know when a person is spiritually thirsty. And I also know when I see a spring in a person. You know how I can identify that? Because they never stop. They keep going. Are you with me? Look at verse 15. He made it so appealing. She said, the woman said to him, sir, give me what? I want it now. So I will not be thirsty. No. Now watch this now. This is a woman for you, right? Listen. No, come on. Shoot, I don't want to have to come all this way. She's not thinking what? Spiritual. And sometimes you're talking to people, and you're talking to people, and you're trying to share with them spiritual things, but they're still thinking natural. She said, hey, give me that water. Now, she didn't want the water because she saw herself as a sinner. I'm going somewhere with this. But she saw herself as wanting something that would make her bring more convenience to her life. In other words, she was thinking that Jesus was just going to fill her bank account with money. That's how we witness today. That if you give your life to Jesus, guess what? You ain't going to have no more problems. You ain't got to walk this far anymore. Oh, I'm walking this thing tonight. Watch this. When you get this water, when you get Jesus, guess what? Everything is going to be great. So she thought. And that's how most of us think when we come to Jesus. We think that, watch this, that everything is going to just pan out for us. But baby boo, God got something else for you. He got something else for you, because guess what? It's through your trials that you get better. It's through your testing. It's through your darkest days that you get to understand who God is. See, and what she wanted was why everybody comes to Jesus. So that life will become a little bit more, what? Better or convenient. Is that deep? Watch the text. Look what she said. She said, he said to her, now let me just show you how Jesus is the best witness. Man, Jesus is cold. And that's why I want to be a witness of like Jesus. Watch this. Watch what he said. Now notice this. Jesus is about to use the Ten Commandments, one of the Ten Commandments, on her. Why do you want Jesus? Why did you receive him? Is it because you didn't want to walk so far? Is it because you thought he was just going to fix your situation? Is it because you thought that everything was going to be all right all the time? That prosperity and wealth was going to come your way? How's that working out for you? See, let me leave that alone. Look what Jesus did. This is what you got to do in your witnessing conversation. Verse 16, he said to her, now, she want the water. Go call your husband and come here. Now, see, this is the thing about Jesus. And this is the thing about when you're witnessing. You will say things to that person, right, that will hit dead on with what they're going through or what they're doing in their life to bring conviction. Could be fornication. Could be lying. Could be stealing. Could be a whole list of other things that they're involved in, right? And God will cause you in that conversation, if you let the Holy Spirit talk for you, you'll hit them right on the head. See, because that brings the conviction. That's why you got to use the Ten Commandments. Jesus said, go get your husband, because we can't do this without your husband, boo. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said, hey, you have said what? Correctly. You have correctly said, I have no husband, for you have five husbands. I don't think you're trying to hear me tonight. She was a round the way, five-time girl. She was an adulterer. See, here's the thing. The Bible talks about, listen, the Ten Commandments is real. He says, first of all, you got five husbands, and the one whom you now have, how many homes have you broken up?
Oh, I wish I had somebody.
Oh, come on, somebody. How many homes have you broken up? How many kids and families have you destroyed? Five of them. Six. And the one you have now, that's not even your husband. See, when God is drawing you to him, he shows you yourself. He's showing you what's really wrong with you. And that's how you know you have a true person that will truly accept him. You know why? Because they see themselves in light of their sins. They don't see their life as God has a wonderful plan for you. God wants to save you. No, baby, you are an adulterer. Now notice how Jesus said it. Jesus didn't say it like that to where she was like, man, hold on a minute. Why are you in my business? You follow what I'm saying? You know what? And see, this makes sense to me, because listen, before you can get this living water, You got to come clean. And in your witnessing conversation, you got to like kind of ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, show me what's wrong with this person so I can hit it on the head. So look what he said. You have five husbands. Watch this. And the one you have now is not your husband. This you have truth. In other words, you spoke the truth finally. See, Jesus understood the character of this woman. Let me tell you something about an adulterer. Not only she's an adulterer, she's a liar. Are you with me? And she has what's called a character problem. But Jesus did not judge her or discriminate her to offer her, come on somebody, salvation. Salvation is for sinners, y'all, not intellectual people. Salvation is for people who fall short all the time but don't know how to change it. Are you with me? And oftentimes, this is what I ask myself. When I see people walk away from God, I question the genuineness of their salvation. Because if I was an adulterer, five times, six times, maybe seven, and God saved me and changed me, why would I want to go back from where he pulled me from? Why? Can you answer that question for me?
Well, the flesh is weak, Pastor.
Tough. But if God truly saved you, can I ask you something? Did God really save you? Did God really, really, really save you tonight? Why do we think the way we do then? Why do we act the way we do? It's not that you're not getting a word every week. If you're getting a word every week and you're not changing, hello, boo, something wrong. Which well are you drinking from? If you're still calling right wrong and you're telling me that, well, I'm still going to heaven and you're still an adulterer, you're fooling yourself. Now watch what he says. We're coming to close. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive something. You're not prophesying to me, but I perceive something, that you are a what? A prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain. Now watch this. This is the part that really gets me about her. She knew some stuff. She knew some spiritual stuff. Oh, come on, somebody. But even though she knew some spiritual stuff, she didn't see nothing wrong with breaking up all those happy homes. And not only that, David, when he had sinned with Bathsheba, he lived for 2 years with that sin in him. And he ignored it. And what Jesus is saying, listen, you seem like you know some spiritual stuff. Look what she said. She said, the woman said, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain. And you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men are to worship. What does she know about? Where did this come from? She was an adulterer. She just came to get some water to go back to be what she was. She was minding her business. But thanks be to God that the greatest man that ever lived was there. And God now uses you. He works through you to be that man at the well. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, woman. All right. Okay. All right. Jesus said to a woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. Watch this. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is what? From the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, watch this, when the true worshipers. You know what Jesus was saying to her? You are about to transform into a true worshiper. You know why she became a true worshiper? Because she acknowledged her sin. And she was about to give her life to Jesus. Come on, somebody. And that's what Jesus is seeking. He knows who he wants to save. That's the doctrine of election. Let me tell you about the doctrine of election. The doctrine of election says this. Not everyone is elected to be saved. There are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Can I break the news to you tonight? You've been chosen. Listen. Let me see if I can make this a little clearer for you. I don't think you caught it. God didn't have to save you. He didn't have to do that. Matter of fact, from the moment you were conceived, before you were even conceived, he knew he was going to save you. And the fact that he has saved you should bring about in your heart gratitude. In spite of your condition tonight, in spite of what you're going through, put yourself aside and realize that you're special. And if you are special and you're saved and you choose not to live a life that's pleasing unto him, shame on you. That's what you call grace. He didn't have to choose you. He could have overlooked you. You could still be in the world. You wouldn't be here tonight. You could still be living. How do you remember being unsaved? Did you like it? Kind of. Some of y'all kind of liked. Let me see. Y'all say. You kind of like it then. Sin, listen, we love sin. I love sin. I love sin. I love smoking. I love drinking. I love all that. I loved it. I ain't going to lie to you. I ain't going to sit here and lie to you, man. Amen. I love the party. I like to throw parties. Y'all ain't trying to hear me. I loved it. But then I met Jesus. Because I remember those days waking up hangover. Waking up in places I don't even know how did I get there? And walk outside the car twisted like this. You're like, daggone, how did I park that car? I remember one time I smoked some weed, I parked. I was like, and I went back to work. I'm like, I looked out the window. I said, man, that car sure is crooked. Y'all thought I was, you see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Crooked. And it wasn't even my car. Went back to work. Stole the car, came back, parked the car crooked, and stood out there looking at the car. That's what weed will do to you. It'll cause you to do some crazy stuff. Like, man, it was a Camaro, a maroon one at that. That's when I lived in Boston. You know what I mean? God, you know, you do some strange stuff. You're like, man, you know, and then you're beat down. Your body takes a beating. But when you get this spring in you, when you get this well in you, that high is different. It's a different kind of high. Sunday was a high. Every Sunday is a high. Are you with me? I'm going to leave y'all alone with that because y'all can identify with me. Look what he said, verse 23. But an hour is coming, and the true worship will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks. Look at this. Look at this, man. For such people the what? To be what? Hold on a minute. What is God trying to fill this church with? So when you're sitting in the lunchroom and the Holy Spirit said, talk to him, you're like, I'm eating my sandwich. Heard. I ain't saying nothing. Shoot, I got to eat this sandwich. I got a few minutes, and I got to get back to work, okay, and I got to finish up. And God says, man, that's a worshiper I want. I want him because when he comes to church, he going to worship me, but he's going to be real about his worship. Question is, let me ask you this. How real is your worship? No, I'm serious. Is your worship for real? Or is it that performance thing you're giving them? You know why I love sitting up here now? I get to see my worshipers. I get to see who's going to lift their hands to God, who's going to just... If God's been good to you, you better lift your hands to him. If God has transformed your life, you better say, I El Shaddai, you God. You are wonderful, God. You are El Elyon. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I've never been able to open my mouth anywhere else, but today I want to tell you, God, I love you. You chose me to be a true worshiper. A true worshiper. When God found you, he knew what he wanted you to be. He wanted you to be a worshiper. You know why? Because God loves. Listen to me real good now. Listen to me real good. This is why y'all stop missing church. He loves worship. And when he saw you where you were in your mess, he picked you up and he said, look, I'm going to make you one of my loudest worshipers. I'm going to make you one of my finest worshipers. When you lift your hands to me, when you praise me. When, listen, when you come into church and you start praising him, that's a witness. Did you know that? That's a witness. You know what you're witnessing to? You're witnessing to everybody else that I know something. I know something about somebody. And here's what I know. I know my God is great. I know something about him. I'm not where I used to be. My life is transformed. It's bigger than what he could do for you. He says, I'm seeking worshipers. God is trying to fill this church with worshipers. But he needs you. He doesn't need you, first of all. But he wants you to do this. He wants you to be on the lookout for some people who you will invite. Today I went to the Dollar General. She didn't come tonight, but you know I'm going to go back over there. And this is how I did it. I was checking. I said, did I invite you to church? She looked at me like, you talking to me? Like, no, you ain't never invite me to church. I said, well, I want to invite you to church tonight. She said, okay. She said, she said, can I bring my kids? I said, yeah. We got a dynamic children's ministry. I said, don't fool me now. I know you're a girl of your word. But I'm not disappointed. Let me tell you why. Because what can I expect from the world? Disappointment. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go back over there and say, listen, God's been looking for you. God wants you to be a worshiper. God wants you to worship. What is that? Remember, the world don't know what that is. So they got to come into church and we're getting ready to revamp our new members' ministry, right, which Deacon James is over, so that we will make this journey a little bit more exciting for people so that they can understand why they're part of this. God wants you to be a worshiper. When he sought you out for worship. Don't you be embarrassed. Listen, I was suppressed when I got saved in my worship because people were looking at me like, you know, I used to feel embarrassed, you know what I mean? But listen, when I broke loose, when I got those chains off of me, you can't stop me. That's why we got to worship him, amen? Look what he says this, and I think I got to close now. Yeah, I got to close because I can't finish. Look at verse 24. God is what? And I'm going to stop there. Next week we'll pick back up right here. God is spirit. And they who worship him. Now notice this. She was the one that brought up worship. And Jesus said, baby, if you're going to worship me, listen to me real good. Don't come here thinking, oh man, this is rich. Give God what's due. He says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him. In what? In other words, if your life is not lining up with his standard, then your worship is off. And when your worship is off, everything else is off. Because God inhabits, come on, help me somebody, the praises of his people. It's more than you just making the sacrifice to come to church every Sunday. When God sought you out, he says, man, I want you to be worship. And you know who ought to worship first? Men. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, men ought to lift up holy hands. And when the men lift their hands, come here, heard. When the men lift their hands, lift your hands. Amen. The family is covered. I don't think you're hearing me. When men worship, the church is covered. When men worship, barriers are broken down. When men worship, chains are broken, because there's a that what God now, it's called an orderly arrangement. God puts into order what's where there's disorder. And that's why it's important for men to worship. Your worship is your witness. I leave you there tonight. Give God a hand clap of praise tonight.